Hi, I'm Reverend Norm Seelye. Welcome to a Jubilee Sunday Worship Podcast. What you are about to hear is this week's Sunday service edited to fit an all audio experience. You can support Jubilee United Church through the Canada Helps website, www.canadahelps.ca. Just search Jubilee United Church. And there's also a link on the Jubilee website. You can also access a full video of this service on our website, www.jubileeunited.ca. And now, without further ado, welcome to worship. As I come to light the Christ candle, I stop to celebrate the ministry that Reverend Brianne Swann shared with us all. Through the COVID years and into our reemergence, Reverend Brianne has been leading, preaching, shaping, and loving our community, even as she has helped us to love beyond our doors.
If I wait till I am or until my love is pure, then I will wait forever.
With her love and labor, she built Resistance Church with us, brought us into relationship with refugees, created digital engagement that was gladly received on TikTok and Instagram, Facebook and YouTube. She brought the gifts of insight and faith, music, humor, and creativity into our community.
Reverend MacGyver, they call me.
I would love to be commissioned to a ministry of MacGyvering.
Oh, I thought you meant that we're commissioned to a...
So what's your favorite Christmas song? Like, what are your go-tos? What do you need to listen to?
Need to listen to... Actually, White Christmas by Bing Crosby that we're listening to right now is truly a go-to for me, just because
how did I know?
I don't know how you do, because of that great
and we are forever changed for the better. She also brought her sons Isaiah and Simon, sometimes known as the Lockdown Brothers, to our community, and it's hard to imagine us without them. The light and warmth that Brianne brought to Jubilee is not going out. It has started a fire here that won't go out. And now she goes to the East End Ministry with that Christ light and that light, that inspiration, that love will continue. I imagine that you feel much the same as I feel. Glad that she can share her abundant gifts with a new community, but a little bit sad to see her go. She has so many wonderful gifts that she has shared so completely with us. But I think that I will miss most having such a wonderful friend in the office next to mine. In the ministry of Reverend Brianne Swann, shared with Jubilee, and soon to Light and Warm East End Ministry, I recognize and celebrate the faithful light of Christ.
Thank you. Hi, it's Reverend Brienne. I'm walking here on Danforth Avenue in Toronto, and this is day two of your reminder that God loves you. Yes, you.
Matthew chapter 16, verses 21 through 28. From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "God forbid it, Lord! This must never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." Then Jesus told his disciples, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom."
Make a joyful noise, all the earth. Worship your God with gladness. Make a joyful noise, all the earth. Come to this place with a song. Know that your God has made you. Make a joyful noise, all the earth. Worship your God with gladness. Make a joyful noise, all the earth. Come to this place with a song. Enter these gates, thanksgiving. Enter these courts with praise. Holy name, worship your God with a song. Make a joyful noise on the earth. Worship your God with gladness. Make a joyful noise on the earth. Come to this place with a song. Ages through endless ages, seasons of endless years, the love of our Maker ever shall endure. Worship your God with a song. Make a joyful noise on the earth. Worship your God with gladness. Make a joyful noise on the earth. Come to this place with a song.
A reading from Exodus. Chapter 3, verses 1 through 15. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush, and he looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, I must turn aside and look at this great sight, and see why the bush is not burned up. When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. He said further, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the country of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The cry of the Israelites has now come to me. I have also seen how the Egyptians oppress them. So come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? He said, I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that it is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God on this mountain. But Moses said to God, If I come to the Israelites and say to them, The God of your ancestors has sent me to you, and they ask me, What is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. He said further, Thus you shall say to the Israelites, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, Thus you shall say to the Israelites, The Lord, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my title for all generations.
I invite you to pray with me. Holy and loving God, may the words from my mouth and the meditations on all of our hearts gathered at screens this morning be pleasing to you. Amen. Well, this is a strange feeling. My final sermon with Jubilee as one of your ministers. It has been a week of bittersweet lasts. The last Tuesday coffee, the last staff meeting. A lot of goodbyes. And when Norm asked if I wanted to take the sermon this week, I was all, sure, that would be really nice. But then I realized what readings we were working with this week. Moses and the burning bush, Jesus getting a little bit annoyed, again, with Peter. Now, where we encounter Jesus and Peter this week is exactly where we left them last week. It is a continuation of the same story. You will remember that Peter has just guessed right. He has named Jesus as the Messiah, and Jesus has told Peter that he is the rock on whom and through whom the church will be built. But now, Peter turns from rock to stumbling block, and Jesus asks the disciples to pick up their cross and follow him. I mean, sure, the Romans had been using crucifixion as a form of execution for a while, but I'm not sure the cross had the same significance at this point in the story. Jesus isn't dead yet. So, I could have talked about that, but it doesn't really feel right. And I could talk about the word stumbling block, coming from the Greek skandalon, which is also the root of scandal, and how Jesus enters the world as a scandal, moves through the world as a scandal, and leaves the world as a scandal. But I don't think talking about scandal during my final sermon is really the way I want to leave. So that's not going to work either. And burning bushes in the middle of the wilderness? I don't know. Folks are pretty sensitive this summer about random, uncontained fires out in the wild. But I wanted to leave you with a great sermon, the best sermon, a sermon to remember me by. But since I couldn't think of what to say, that was going to be a little bit hard. And so earlier this week, feeling a bit panicked, I decided to sit quietly in the sanctuary, to ponder, to pray. And as I was sitting there, looking up at the ceiling and the windows that I've always loved so much, I realized I wasn't alone. Because there was Jesus, sitting right beside me. Now, I was a bit startled. You think you're alone in a building with all the doors locked and all of a sudden there's a strange man sitting beside you. But then I realized it was definitely Jesus. Now, this had never happened to me before, and I may have been a little starstruck because the first words out of my mouth were not, "Hello," or, "Wow, it's really nice to meet you, Jesus." No. My words got all jumbled up, and the first thing I heard myself say was, "You don't look nearly as much like my husband as people say you do." Jesus sighed, that exasperated sigh I always imagine him using with the disciples, and said, "No, Swanee, but you already knew that. Why would I need glasses?" And then he winked. Now you'd think my second words to Jesus would be better, you know, after I'd had a moment to collect myself. But instead I said, "What are you doing here, Jesus? What, you think I only show up to hang out with Norm? No, but this is kind of his thing. It's his literary device." "Sure, except that it's you who stuck on the sermon." I know, Jesus, it's my last sermon here in this space, on this account, I guess, and I want it to be awesome. I want to leave here with a sermon folks can remember me by. And Jesus thought about this for a second. At least, I think he was thinking. It's possible he was just humoring me. He does that a lot with the disciples as well. But then he said, "A sermon to remember you by. How long have you been here, Swanee?" Now, you know Jesus must be my friend, because only my best friends call me Swanee. "Well, my husband Jason did his internship here about 5 years ago, so that's when my kids and I started hanging out with the Jubileebers. And then about 4 years ago, Norm and I had an outside-the-box idea about a new form of worship that could reach folks who weren't already part of a church. It was super cool. We had a couple of in-person worship services with a full band, but then during a snowstorm, we had to cancel and move online. That was such a success that we moved the whole ministry online. We've called it Resistance Church. And our final regular service is going to be this week. It's this Sunday. And then Jesus said, well, you sound a little bit sad about that. I suppose so. I mean, it's been 4 years of learning and growing with this community. We started before the pandemic, and I love them. But I went on. Then, when congregations across Ontario weren't able to gather in person, I was so happy to be helping Norm and Jubilee with the online worship services, and a little bit of pastoral care here and there. It was so much fun creating the videos and the music, experimenting in a new medium where we were just figuring things out as we went. I think we produced some pretty cool stuff. Yes, Jesus said, the Lockdown Brothers are a smash hit amongst the disciples. They are particularly pleased at how Dobby the Pastoral Care Pup has managed to channel each of their individual personalities so wonderfully. I, for one, have always appreciated Simon's theatrical interpretation of my words. Yes, Jubilee has always been really great at welcoming and including my kids in every aspect of church life. And they're pretty sad to be leaving. They've made a point of asking whether they'll be ever able to have one of Gary's hamburgers again. It's always about the food at church, said Jesus. Yeah, so it was really great when we were finally able to come back together again, first with the masks, but then finally in sharing meals. And during that time, I was commissioned and then called to ministry here, to this church. I was so excited. Jesus could sense the tone in my voice change. But it's been 2 years of being called here, 4 years of working here, 5 years in total of connection, and now you're leaving. And I nodded. He said, aren't you excited for a new adventure? Yeah, I guess, I mean, no, for sure, I am excited. There are things I'm really looking forward to at East End United. Working with the food bank and the Out of the Cold programs, ministering in the neighborhoods where my family and I live, helping the congregation use their technology to the best of their capabilities. It's hard to leave this. It's hard to leave Jubilee. But why? Said Jesus. It sounds like where you're going is a really good opportunity and a good fit. Why is it hard to leave Jubilee? I said. Because I love them. Jesus paused and nodded wisely. Yes, I do know a lot about love making things complicated. I went on. I mean, we did a lot of really great stuff together. I'm not sure most of the congregation really understood Resistance Church, but they were willing to try a new thing. And I've really appreciated that. Actually, I've been quite moved by that. We expanded what it means to be the church in digital spaces. We are working towards sponsoring two different refugee families in a time when we're not quite sure what the world is going to look like from one month to the next. Sounds a bit like a burning bush, said Jesus. And I waited for some further explanation. Honestly, I was hoping for a very truly I tell you, because that's short code. That's when you know you have to listen up and where Jesus is going to lay it all out, where he starts maybe making some sense. But Jesus was silent. So I decided to prod the Son of God. What do you mean, Jesus? Well, it sounds like Jubilee didn't always know what to expect with these new and, at the time, kind of strange things. Were there reservations? Well, sure, there sometimes were. There usually is when something seems new and risky. Do we have the capacity? Legitimate concerns about costs, but ultimately, we usually decided to take the risk. And it pretty much has always worked out. Right. Even Moses had some reservations. And look where he ended up. I suppose so. And it sounds like Jubilee has kind of become a leader in things like digital ministry and refugee sponsorship. Yes, I am very proud of them. But Jesus, I still don't have a sermon. What on earth am I going to say? Pick up your cross and follow me? Come on, do you understand how those words have been twisted over the centuries? Yeah, that happens a lot. We've done so many great things here together at Jubilee. I need to have the perfect sermon to leave them with. Jesus said, "It sounds like your whole time here was perfect. It's like you want the perfect sermon for a perfect call." Well, no. I mean, it wasn't perfect. It wasn't all pink fluffy unicorns dancing on rainbows. It was hard sometimes. And sometimes I made mistakes too. And sometimes it was tricky for all of us to know which aspects of ministry should be prioritized from one moment to the next. Sometimes it was complicated? Yeah, sure. But aren't all families a little bit complicated? At least just a little bit? And it was also this family who was there for me when my father died in the middle of the pandemic, when I graduated seminary, and then again with my master's degree. It was Jubilee who was there when I was commissioned into ministry. And really, I mean, what would I have done without Norm? Norm has been a mentor to me for years as I've worked through what it means to be a minister in this time and space, in this post-Christendom social context, in this often befuddling United Church of ours. I'm really going to miss Norm. You know you're still able to have lunch with Norm. You know you're not banished, right? I know, it's just, it's not the same. Jeannie, Barb, Diane, I'm going to miss all my colleagues. I love them. Jesus got quiet again. He was quiet for a while, and we just sat there in silence. It felt like a while, but it may only have been a few minutes, sitting beside God incarnate. Time and space are probably malleable. But then Jesus broke the silence. I think it was because of love that Peter was so upset when I told him I was going to die. Gee, you think, Jesus? Now, please don't tell me you are about to equate anything about letting the disciples know how dangerous and risky your ministry was, or is, to me leaving Jubilee. That seems a little bit forced. A little bit much. No, no, Swanee. I don't think that even you are that much of a drama llama. Come on. Let's go walk in the garden. And so we went out to the labyrinth and walked and we talked some more. Brianne, my whole ministry was and is about love. That much I've gathered, Jesus, from Sunday school and 5 years of theological training. Yes. But then Jesus went on. And sometimes love is dangerous. For sure, you know I love Cornel West. Justice is what love looks like in public. People have died, do die, for justice, love, for one another. And you did. You do. Right. And sometimes love is complicated. Sure, love is complicated, but it's always... Yes? Good. Love can be beautiful, it can be painful, it can give you the warm fuzzies, it can be destructive. But it is always good. Very truly, I tell you, Swanee, love is always good. Peter gets a lot of things wrong, you're right about that. But in this case, I wasn't angry about that. I was upset because I love Peter and his friends so much that the next part of our story was going to be very, very hard. I was having a very human moment of love making everything harder and more complicated. Okay, fine, Jesus, but what am I going to say for my final sermon? And then, with a sigh and a facepalm, Jesus was gone. I told you Peter is my favorite because I am like him. Sometimes I just don't get it. My friends, I have brought all the love I could to my time here with you. And I know that I have witnessed and received so much love in return. Our love and care for one another, the world, it is the way we testify to God's love for all of creation. That sounds simplistic, but it's not, because love is complicated. Sometimes it hurts, but it is always good. I am a better minister and a better person for having been here with you, and I thank you for that. I hope I have left you changed for the better as well. I love you. I love you all. Thanks be to love. And thanks be to God. Amen.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
go forth from this moment creatively. Go out into the world, head home, go somewhere new. Go out into the world and let God, the Creator, open your heart to the world all around you, that you might recognize creation as it is happening, that you might recognize that you are part of creation. Your participation, well, it's not an option. You are part of it. So go forth reveling in creation. Go forth knowing that you walk with Jesus. We walk with Jesus. And go forth knowing that we are all surrounded and filled by the Holy Spirit. Go forth knowing that we can do this. We're not alone. Until we gather again, amen.